derail you one more time. So we were talking last time a little bit about Star Wars and
It was meant to be a little bit about Star Wars. Right. And it spiraled out of control.
And we're going to keep going on it. So off we go.
Okay. Thank you for coming back, by the way. And if you haven't come back, how are you hearing this? No, then listen to the last one before, because we're not going to recap. Let's just continue. Right.
Yeah, we're just continuing straight on. I've heard some people argue that Hollywood are shooting themselves in the foot with this 3D crap. Because in some places, like some markets where we live, ticket prices haven't gone through the roof quite yet. We can still get to a movie for less than $10 at night, you know, on weekend, regular time that someone would actually want to go see. You don't have to go to the showing that everybody's at work or, you know.
The 11:45 a.m. yeah, showing.
You don't have to go to the weird time to be able to get a ticket that's less than $10 where we live. But there are a lot of places where that is the case. In places like New York and L.A., where $10 is like the friggin' matinee price. If you want to go to the regular show, it's more like $15. And now they're adding another $4 onto those tickets to charge people to see the 3D, to the point where if you're going to go out to a movie with your family, you're spending $100 just to see a friggin' movie. They're saying, you know, movies have forever always been the cheap choice for a nice night out. You can go out with your family, you can see something entertaining, and it's cheaper than going to the sporting event. It's cheaper than going to cockfight or the theater.
Glow wrestling. I'm sorry, am I dating myself?
All these many widely available entertainment
choices. The roller derby.
Yes. It's cheaper than those things. But now they've priced their tickets up so much that it's not anymore. You could go to the sporting event now and pay the same price as going to a movie.
Yeah, it was cheaper to go to a Dodger game in LA than the movies.
That,
because you would load a ton of Mexicans into your car and you all pay the same price to, wait, I'm sorry, did I say it? A ton of friends into your car and you'd
they say that, you know, people are going to stop seeing the movies as that cheap thing that you can go and do, and so you'll go and do it often, and they're going to completely lose the people that they've managed to keep for 100 years by being the cheap choice of a fun night out. So there's that could also occur because of this, the greedy, the Hollywood, oh, we want $5 extra for every ticket. Now Avatar, even though it sold way less tickets than Titanic, it's got way more money than Titanic because of the 3D effect. So,
well, okay,
who's to know if that's going to come back and bite them in the end and kill their business because people just stop going out to movies. There is that possibility, I guess.
Well, you're given the option of going to see Tangled with your family in a couple of weeks for $25, or wait 3 months and own the movie for $17.99.
Right.
Which is more attractive to you?
Tangled.
No, I'm just saying.
When you use Tangled as the example, then yeah, owning the movie for $17 is way better because
it's possible Tangled the movie will be good.
It's possible.
I mean, I don't think it will be either, but it could.
If you were to have said Toy Story 3 is coming out in theaters and you can go and see it with the whole family, or you can wait 6 months and buy the DVD, I'd say, well, I'm going to go and see it in theaters because I am a huge fan.
I didn't say 6 months. I said 3 months.
Okay, 3 months.
Because there's another thing, and that, you know, that doesn't get my goat. Too. It's just them shooting themselves in the foot. The window is so small between theater and DVD now that people have often said that the theatrical release is just a preview for the DVD.
It kind of is. I don't know that that's even shooting themselves in the foot, because I bet you they make way more money selling DVDs than they do showing a movie in a theater.
No, of course. But if you knew the only way you could see this movie for the next 6 months, for the next year, is in the theater, you would go to the theater if it was something you wanted to see.
Mm-hmm.
But knowing that you could go to the Red Box and your whole family could watch it for $1 just
3 months from now,
just 2 house payments from now.
When it comes down to a movie like Tangled, that's the obvious choice.
It could be good, in case there's Disney people listening that want to hire us.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you know what? Let's
go to the thing that actually got your goat, because we haven't even made it
this
to
is
that.
This has been another long episode, and we haven't even gotten to the other thing. Well, I'm thinking we should stop and have part two be another episode. Because I'm so tired of 36 minute long that gets my goats, because they're supposed to be 15 minutes long.
That's fine with me. That's your thing. You're the one putting these together. So if you want to do that, then that's totally cool.
What do you have more to say about 3D? Because this will be our 3D episode. Do your kids demand to see them in 3D?
They don't, and I would.
It's like, Daddy, it is not good enough to see it in 2D.
You're like, why do you talk like Richard Teague's children?
Yeah, I would put down my foot anyways and say, not only no, but hell no, kid. I didn't even take my kids to see Avatar. I did take them to see Avatar, but not in 3D. I made them wait until it was in the dollar movies and etc. My wife didn't even see it in 3D, sadly.
Doesn't like anything. She's like Mikey.
She liked Avatar, and I think she would have really liked it in 3D, which is too bad. She's never seen anything in 3D yet. I don't know if she'll even get the experience before the craze eventually wears, because it's going to wear out. It's not going to last too much longer.
Well, not when it doesn't work and it doesn't add anything to the movie. You know, like Sensoround was the thing they had in the mid-70s that was supposed to be the next big thing, and they just took out the back row of theater seats and put huge subwoofers and stuff there, and so the theater would shake when there was something huge happening, and they only released a few movies, like 5 to 8 movies in this format. And it was just a fad. And the first time they released a movie this way, everybody's like, ooh, let's go check that out. But the second or third time, less people said, ooh, let's go check it out. And ultimately they're like, wow, why did we bother? I mean, it doesn't make a bad movie good.
There's nothing you can do to make a bad movie good. Aside from throwing the script out and starting over. And they're not going to do that. Once they've shot stuff, they've shot stuff, and that's going to be the deal. But I think that stuff would be cool. I remember when I was like 18 or 19, we went to Universal Studios in Florida, and they had the Terminator 2
3D
event movie thing. And this was not just a movie. It was a stage production as well. It had seats that shook. It had the whole bit going on. And I thought, you know, that was pretty friggin' cool. They don't have to go so far as to get actors to pretend to be Arnold Schwarzenegger, etc., like they did with that one where they had actual actors come out and they were supposedly, I mean, you know, from my seat, which was a long ways away, they could have been, for all I could tell, but you knew they weren't. It's not like Arnold Schwarzenegger's friggin' putting on a show every day at Universal Studios. He's got California to run into the ground right now. But that, I think, is really cool. And if it just became a thing that happened all the time, that would be pretty awesome. I remember they also had another ride, which wasn't a ride, it was a show, that was the Alien Extraterrestrial Encounter or something like that. And
wait, where's that Norm Sherman audio of the audience going, boo?
But it was actually really cool, too, because they had this alien that was in this thing, and they had these people pretending to show us the alien, and then something happened, and the lights went out, and the alien busted out of the thing, you know? And you're sitting in these seats that had one of those things that go over your shoulders, like if you were in a roller coaster that would hold you in your seat kind of a thing. But these ones were different because they were part of the show kind of a thing. So the lights are out, and then as if the alien was walking on the seats right above you, these would like press down on you for a second, and you feel the feet of the alien like it was walking past you. They had like a hot air jet that would breathe the alien breath down on your neck for a second as it walked past you. And that was pretty cool, too. I was actually pretty impressed with it. It was a lot of fun. And, you know, if they could work interesting things like that into films, I think it could really be worthwhile. But it would have to not be a fad. They'd have to be in it for the long haul kind of a thing. You know, they put in these woofers that are going to make the theater shake. They got to make more than 8 movies to make it worthwhile for anybody. I don't think it would be that expensive to, you know, make these. Once you put in the seats and et cetera that are going to shake or whatever, and then you've got it, you know, and you can just keep making movies like that. And it's got to be better than just sitting at home watching it on TV. I mean, there's that thing that makes going to the theater worthwhile. It's a little bit cooler. You can say, yeah, well, I go to it because, you know, the seat shakes when there's an explosion, or the alien breath, I feel it on my neck.
Well, that makes me think of the IMAX experience. And have you ever gone to an IMAX? Now,
I have. I've even gone to an IMAX in 3D.
Which also was available in 2D.
Which was fairly cool. But it was an IMAX documentary. It wasn't like...
But like when they released Star Wars Episode...
I did go and see that too. Star Wars Episode 2.
You did?
I did.
Well, how was that?
It was interesting because I think because of the fact that it was on IMAX, they had to edit it down some because it wouldn't fit the whole movie on the reel or something like that. So they had to make it shorter.
Right. And they cut out all the kissing.
They did. They cut out like half of the romance stuff. It seemed like that where Anakin's riding the tick cow thing, that was gone. I went and saw that with a bunch of friends, and a lot of them said, you know, dude, that movie was so much better this time around than it was the first time I saw it in the theater with all that other crap. They took the worst parts out, and it made the movie so much better. But, you know, I mean, that's not why you don't want to go and see a movie edited down to be able to see it in a big screen.
A couple of years ago, Dark Knight came out. The gimmick there was that Christopher Nolan had shot a couple of the scenes of the movie, a couple of the set pieces, with IMAX cameras.
Mm.
And if you went and saw it at an IMAX theater, it would be one aspect ratio for most of the movie, but for a couple of scenes, suddenly it would go huge and giant because of those scenes that he shot with the cameras. And I guess there's an IMAX theater like a half hour away from where I am. Maybe that's the way to go. You know, I sort of regret not having seen Dark Knight that way because... who knows what that experience would have been like? That's, again, something you can't experience at home.
Right.
Maybe that would have been a cool way to go.
The size restriction is not a thing anymore, is it? Do they even show films from film anymore? Is that something that they do? Or do they just get these computer, you know, do they...
I would imagine that most IMAX theaters, or most really nice deluxe theaters... it's just a digital projection
right.
You're watching.
So in this case...
But in 2002, when Episode 2 came out, maybe it wasn't
It wasn't.
And now, post-Avatar, practically every multiplex is going to have digital screens.
Yeah, so there's no length restriction anymore because it's not like they got to fit it on the reel. So they can make any movie with IMAX cameras.
They just don't.
Yeah, they just got to do it and make it, you know, and these days, like every new theater that's built has at least one IMAX screen. The old theaters that have been around for 20 years don't necessarily, but as they make new theaters, they're all putting in IMAX screens, so there's no reason not to. They could make it worth going to the theater by doing that. I think that that would be cool to have that experience with just a regular movie. Instead of having to go and see the Space Hubble Telescope movie or, you know, the whatever 50-minute documentary. Because, you know, IMAX movies are, it seems like they're always documentaries.
Colonoscopy 3D.
Yeah, you know, you can go and see those kind of documentaries. But seeing a regular narrative film, one that you would go and watch at the normal theater, but seeing it the whole time in IMAX the whole way through, that would be pretty cool. Adding in the 3D, you know, I'd be down with that if they shot it in 3D, and adding in other gimmicks, shaking seats, I don't know, warm breath, air vents, you know, that, I mean, that could be cool. You know, you're watching your Sylvester Stallone meathead action film.
And you can smell his BO.
And he shoots a rocket or something, the plane blows up, and you feel like warm air or something hit you as though the explosion was actually there. You know, that could be neat. I think that could be worth the effort that it would take. And I don't think it would even take, you know, your seat rumbles, you feel the heat and whatever. That could be pretty darn cool. And I don't think it would be beyond the reach. And, you know, it could make going to a film be worth it instead of going to the Red Box and spending a buck. But... yeah, I don't know. I mean, we were way off. We never even got to the thing that actually got your goat, did we?
We didn't, but that's fine.
We're going to save that for the next
goat. We'll just do another episode. I hate to sound old, and I know that I do on most of these episodes. I sound like a crotchety old man. And despite your opinion, I'm not old at all. I may not have many years left, but a normal person at my age could expect many, many, many more years. So, you know, who knows what could happen in the future. My dad was over. We all got together for a family dinner yesterday, and my dad was complaining about movies. What was it? There was a preview for something on the TV. They were watching football, and there was a commercial. I can't even remember what it was. But I said, "Hey, Dad, is that a movie that appeals to you?" And he's like, "Ah, it's garbage. Everything. Why movies today? It's all, you know." And I was just like, "Oh gosh, I didn't mean to set you off. Okay, I just wondered if that movie looked good to you. I know you're not going to go see it." The last movie he saw was Minority Report, and I treated my mom and dad, and I said, "Hey, let's go see. Steven Spielberg has a movie, and it comes out today. Let's go see it," because they were in California visiting, and we all went out. And yeah, he must have used that word three times.
Garbage.
Like, this is garbage. And you know what? There is a moment when she says, "Run!" And that ruins the movie for everyone. But he took it as like some commentary on like the movies are crap now or whatever. And yeah, she's like, "Dude, you should see War of the Worlds that Steven Spielberg's going to make in a couple of years if you want to see crap." Yeah, that was the last straw and the last time he ever went to a movie. And I was offended by his behavior. And so, of course, I was never going to invite him to a movie again.
You should have taken him to a Western. He might be all right.
You know, maybe that's what it was. I highly doubt there was a commercial for True Grit during pro football, but maybe that's what it was. And I was just like, "Whoa, Dad, True Grit. You know, they're remaking True." And he's like, "Oh, that's sacrilege. And you can't remake something the Duke made." And he got an Oscar nomination for that. And so I talked to him for a minute, you know, because he's a window into a previous generation. And he's a very educated man. So, you know, I may dislike his attitude and all that. But he's been around and he knows what's what. And he was, in his day, as big a movie fan as I am now. You know, and he can still tell you who was in what and what year that came out and all that stuff. And so I was just asking him about Hitchcock movies and if he was a fan of Hitchcock back when Hitchcock would do two movies a year and all that. And he said, "I used to go see every movie that came out." He was like, "Oh, 9 out of 10 movies that hit the theater I would go see. And it would take a pretty dumb looking movie for me not to want to go see it and all that." And I was just like, "Wow. I'm not that person anymore, but I used to be like that."
Yeah, me too.
Like when we were in college, we would go see it all.
Yeah.
If it was a movie that didn't appeal to me, if it was a movie that had actors that I don't like, if it was a movie in a different language, I would still go see it because A, I had time on my hands. 2, I was really interested in film. And 3, I guess I wanted to broaden my horizons and I wanted to experience something new and I wanted to be able to say, "Yeah, I've seen that."
Didn't I go and see Kundun with you?
Did you really?
All you could talk about was the endless Philip Glass soundtrack.
Oh God,
that just
Philip
made
Glass
you want to kill
sucks.
Yourself. That's about as far into broadening your horizons that...
He's pretty much gone away, though. Very little excrement sticks on the bottom of your shoe too long.
By he, you mean the director or the Dalai Lama?
Oh, Philip Glass.
Okay.
So it was weird to find something in common with my dad. And I don't know when Minority Report came out. Let's say it was 2005. I don't know when it was, but let's say
it was longer ago than that.
Really?
That was one of the first DVDs that I ever bought.
Okay, so 2003?
I would say maybe even 2002.
Wow, okay. And that was the last movie he saw, and he's never going to go to another one again. I mean, even though he'll probably live another 15 years or so. I don't know. A guy's strong as an ox. And, you know, that's sort of sad, but I feel myself going that way.
Slipping into his
shoes. When we talk about Tangled, and something tells me I want to see Tangled more than you do. And I just hated that trailer with a passion. I mean, I still can keep warm at night with no blankets just based on the hate that I felt seeing
that
trailer.
Just think of that trailer again and
you
start burning with hate again and you're warm for the rest of the night. Nice.
Is it that I become more discriminating or there's far less that will broaden my horizons anymore. There's far less that can impress me. I've seen it all before.
I don't know if you've seen it all, but I think as you get older, your time becomes more valuable. You think about the crap that you used to do when you were a child, and it was like, you know, you're never gonna die. The rest of your life is just gonna go, even just your youth is just gonna go on forever and ever, and you're never even gonna get old. So you can sit there in your room and waste time at
When I was a kid, I would watch whatever was on TV. If it was a show I hated, still watch it. An hour from now, new shows will be on and all that stuff. And now just the thought of – I can't even – there's this new show on NBC with Jimmy Smits called Outlaw. And I like Jimmy Smits. He and I once shared a Yoda joke together. And I couldn't watch it.
Intimate moment.
It was on – hey, come on, man. You've girls over less than that. I would watch a minute of it, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, and I get antsy. I'd be like, shoot, I've got work I have to get done. There's an October Scary Story I need to do. Like, oh, shoot, how many submissions have I not read? Big and I are playing Scrabble. Oh, shoot, I just got to have something in my hand. I have something to do. I can't just waste my time watching this show as much as I like Jimmy Smits. It was weird, and I've experienced that with more than just Outlaw. I mean, there's all sorts of things like that because I feel the time ticking away.
Right, totally. It's the same way. As you get older, you start to realize, yeah, this isn't going to go on forever. And I think about that a lot. I think, you know, what is it that I want to do with my life, and what am I doing with my life? You know, the time's running out. It's time to do the things that I want to do with my life before it's just completely too late. Sitting there watching another show, you know, the worst part is that's what I still wind up doing, is these other things. I find things that distract me that I wind up doing those instead, and then I just am depressed later when I think back, oh crap, there goes another day. I've wasted, I didn't do anything worthwhile, and I'm that much closer to death, I guess. I don't know. Pretty soon I'll be dead, and I'll never even have written the story that I wanted to write. And, I think that just the older you get, the less willing you are to waste your time sitting in the theater watching a bad movie. Even maybe it's not a bad movie. It's just not one that appeals to you, you know?
Well, okay, as people get older, as they become old men, as they feel the tendency to say, get off my lawn, they become more set in their ways. I think that's just a given.
Uh-huh.
And so you rely on things where you know what the outcome is going to be, and things that are familiar and all that stuff. You know, we've been talking – the whole reason we started talking about this is because the Holy Trilogy is going to come back to theaters someday. Okay, so I was talking about Outlaw and all this happy crappy. There's this new show with Tom Selleck on it, and I can't watch it. I can't. And maybe it's, what if it's no good? What if somebody says, get out of here, kid, you got no future? I don't know if I could take that kind of rejection.
Uh-huh.
But I would watch Empire Strikes Back with you right now, and a month from now, watch it again, and a month from then, watch it again. Because that's a proven commodity. I know that I love Empire Strikes Back. I know that that will give me joy. And I guess as I get older, I could see that. Because my dad has a bunch of movie channels now.
Uh-huh.
And he can watch
the
movies all the time.
He likes
and he goes to these black and white channels, or there's a Western channel now and all that. And it doesn't matter if he's seen Stagecoach 6 times or if he's seen Sons of Katie Elder 15 times. He'll watch it again. And I completely understand that. It's a movie that you love. I mean, that's the whole reason we own DVDs, ostensibly. You and I have DVDs that are still in their shrink wrap, and we feel terrible. It's that Jewish guilt that just eats us and goes, oy vey, attacking us. But for movies like Superman 78 or
The Princess Bride.
Or Beauty and the Beast.
Or The Little Mermaid.
Or Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Or Gymkhana.
Right.
What? Oh. But there's really something too, you know, you got a great movie, and there's been times when just recently I was doing this with all these, as you talk about the Jewish guilt, I've had it. I'm not even Jewish, and I've got this Jewish guilt eating at me going, why did I buy all these movies? Oh yeah, I was going to show them to my kids. And I realized that my kids are probably old enough that I can finally show them to them. And so I started watching these
Deep
movies.
Deep Throat was the first one.
That was the first one. They really enjoyed that. I said, I didn't even know you can do that.
I loved how your 6-year-old got the Harry Reams joke. When I was 6, I wouldn't have.
Okay. So anyways, announcer man. Sorry. Yes, we did derail. Yes, she was six. But yeah, so
she might have been five.
So I showed them X-Men. I showed them X-Men 2. I showed them Spider-Man, etc. And yeah, still my top superhero movie of all time is X-Men 2. And I showed them that movie, and as I watched it, I was just thinking, this is such a great movie. And I'd see all the things that I loved about it again, and I was able to appreciate them and understand further why it was good. And there's just something to that of Jim Cotta. We're not watching it again. You don't go back and watch those crappy movies that you know suck again, but the great ones that you've seen a lot of times, you watch them again and you further appreciate the greatness of it. And it's like books that have become classics over the years, and there's a reason they became classics. Because they're great. Read them a second time or more because it's worth doing and worth appreciating. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with getting on the Western Channel and watching these films that you know are great again because you can further appreciate the greatness of them. And that's cool.
I didn't mean to criticize. Often I mean to criticize my dad. But in this example, I totally understand. I was trying to make the parallel of how I feel, to a lesser extent, the way that he feels about everything now. I mean, it's all crap, according to him. And
you're just 75%.
It totally, yeah, there you go. Yeah. I'm not good with math, but somewhere around there. But
fractions, would you prefer 3/4?
Give me a break.
Okay, so we've talked a long time, so we're just going to end it here, and we'll pick up on the same conversation in the next episode.
Oh, and I promise to offend you.
Yes, he means it.
That Gets My Goat is produced under a Creative Commons license. Why am I telling you this?